Kansas is preparing for the worst, as back-to-back winter storms could blanket the state with snow and ice, making travel treacherous and causing power outages. The two rounds of snow are expected on Monday evening into Tuesday, and another Wednesday into Thursday. On Sunday, Governor Kelly verbally declared a disaster emergency, and the declaration allows for the use of resources to provide state assistance. Governor Kelly said Kansans have faced challenges due to winter storms this year, and the key to meeting those challenges is to be prepared. So she's doing during the same as she did during the past storms, urging all Kansans to take measures to make sure their families are ready by making a home emergency kit and emergency plan. The Kansas Division of Emergency Management suggests residents be prepared with home emergency kits that include a battery-operated radio, flashlight and batteries, extra blankets and warm clothing, non-perishable food, high-energy snacks and drinking water, at least 1 gallon per person per day, for a minimum of 3 days. Emergency officials advise against traveling during winter weather. However, if you must drive, ensure someone knows your travel plans and that your vehicle has a full tank of gas so you can stay warm if you become stranded. Also, make sure your mobile phone is charged. And if you must travel, the state advises drivers to keep emergency supplies in their cars. That includes jumper cables, flares or reflective triangles, an ice scraper, car cell phone charger, blanket, map, and cat litter or sand. For updated road conditions, you can visit candrive.org. You can also dial 511 or call 1-866-511-5368. Testimony over a proposal to redefine neglect for the child welfare system showed a divide between social workers and law enforcement as legislation in the House seeks to prevent the removal of children from homes based solely on poverty, an issue that child welfare advocates in Kansas have long said the state confuses with neglect. Representative Cindy Howerton, who chairs the Child Welfare and Foster Care Committee, said at a hearing on Wednesday that changing that definition of neglect would change the direction of child welfare in our state. House Bill 2132 would change the word failure to refusal in state policies related to neglect, and the word change aims to evaluate families' care when they're financially available or offered the needed resources. The bill would prohibit the removal of a child based solely on isolation, a parent's age, crowded housing, substance abuse, parental drug exposure, mental health disabilities, special needs, or truancy. Kristal Hedrick, the CEO of the Children's Alliance of Kansas, spoke in support of the bill, citing the 655 cases of child removals primarily because of neglect or truancy in the last fiscal year in Kansas. Hedrick said poverty is often a root cause of a child missing school because parents without access to transportation or child care face challenges in getting their children to school. However, Hedrick said that the alliance was divided on whether to support the bill. Opponents to the bill said they agreed that poverty should not be a factor in removing children from a home and noted the harm of placing a child in foster care, though they raised concerns about the possibility of leaving children in dangerous living conditions. Ed Klump, a former Topeka police chief who lobbies for law enforcement groups, said it was problematic that the bill would also strike the likelihood of harm as a reason to remove a child, and the change would require police to wait until a child has been harmed before intervening. On February 12th, the committee plans to consider amendments and decide whether to advance the bill to the full chamber. The cold weather rule, designed to help Kansans who are behind on their utility payments avoid disconnection during the winter months, remains in effect through March 31st. While the cold weather rule is in effect, utility companies cannot disconnect a customer service when the local temperatures are forecast to drop below 35 degrees within the following 48-hour period. The cold weather rule also requires utility companies to offer a 12-month payment plan to allow consumers to maintain or reestablish service, and any residential customer with a past due balance will qualify for payment arrangements. However, it is the customer's responsibility to contact their gas or electric company to make those arrangements. The cold weather rule applies only to residential customers of electric and natural gas utility companies who are under the KCC's jurisdiction, though many municipal utilities and cooperatives have similar winter weather policies. Information about the cold weather rule is available on the Commission's website, kcc.ks.gov, and Kansans can also contact their local utility company or the KCC's Office of Public Affairs and Consumer Protection at 800-662-0027. In Nebraska news, a statewide outage of Nebraska state government computers shut down everything from the work of the legislature to driver's licensing offices for several hours on Thursday. The state office of the chief information officer confirmed that the outage affected all state connections and shut down most state office websites, including the Health and Human Services and Transportation departments. It even shut down the lighted board in the legislative chamber that shows how lawmakers voted. The outage was disruptive enough that the Nebraska legislature adjourned less than an hour after convening without debating a slate of bills that had been set for consideration. The lawmakers were later able to hold afternoon committee hearings on proposed legislation. State websites and communications were back online before 1 p.m. However, the reason for the shutdown was not immediately disclosed. The spokesman for the chief information officer said they are currently investigating the root cause, and when asked if a malicious act was behind the outage, he said it was too early to say. Governor Pillen's office, which also saw its website shut down, said it did not have more information on what might have caused the outage. Grand Island police reported that alcohol was a factor after a teenager crashed her vehicle into the Heartland Event Center early on Thursday morning. Grand Island police said they were called to the Heartland Event Center at Fawner Park for a report of an unconscious female in a vehicle just after 5:30 a.m., and after arriving, officers found an SUV that had collided with the south side of the event center building and located 19-year-old Nyarg Puck unconscious in the driver's seat. Authorities said Puck was unresponsive to officers knocking on the vehicle's window, leading to them breaking the window to remove her, and according to the Grand Island Police Department, the inside of the car smelled of alcohol. After waking up, officers performed a field sobriety test on Puck, which she failed, and she refused to take a chemical breath test at the scene. Officers arrested her on suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol and took her to the Hall County Jail. Heartland Event Center Executive Director Kyler Tarwater released a statement on Thursday morning saying the crash will not affect future operations. Puck is facing charges of DUI, refusal to a chemical breath test, minor in possession of alcohol, and felony criminal mischief. And Grand Island police are investigating further details of how the accident happened. On Friday, Governor Kelly, in accordance with Executive Order 2030, directed flags on all state buildings, grounds, and facilities to be flown at half staff from sunup to sundown today, Monday, February 10th, in honor of former Congresswoman Martha Keys. Governor Kelly said as the second woman to represent Kansas in the United States Congress, Martha Keys was a trailblazer, and her work has left a lasting impact on our state and our nation. Governor Kelly said her condolences go out to the loved ones. If you get a text that claims it's from the Internal Revenue Service and it says you're eligible for a $1,400 payment, authorities say you should not fall for it. And the Garden City Police Department reported that some residents in Southwest Kansas are already getting this text. The text tells people to provide their personal information, and the money will then be deposited into their bank account or mailed to them. However, authorities report that this is a scam, as the IRS will never send unsolicited texts or social media messages asking for personal or financial information. Authorities said you should block, delete, or ignore the text, and if you have questions or believe you've been scammed, you should call your local police department or sheriff's office.